Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6. Bringing the island's community together.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Vectis Movies, your Thursday evening movie review show on Vectis Radio 104.6. You can find us online at vectisradio.com, or if you're one of those offline type people, you can download Vectis Movies from the podcast service of your choice. Now, on this show, we wade through the dross that's at the cinema so that you don't have to. You are welcome. It's not because we like it, is it, Sharon?
Absolutely not.
It's not because we're borderline obsessed, is it, Sean?
No, absolutely.
It's not because we are massive acts full of vitriol, is it, Zeb?
No way.
No, it is totally altruistic and it's totally selfless, and it is for you, the good people of the Isle of Wight. This is Tosin, and the gang have foolishly let me be in charge of the show, as this is my final show. Thank you very much. You guys can feel... Yeah, I know, my final show.
I'm sure we haven't heard the last of you, though.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. I'm like the bad guy in a horror movie. it's like we got rid of him. We got rid of him. How is there 17 sequels? I thought we killed him in the first one. it's it is my final show, and you guys can deal with all the complaint letters after I'm gone, because it will no longer be my responsibility.
It's all right. We'll post them on.
Yeah, and I will just... it's winter's coming. I can make a nice little bonfire. I'll be like, yeah, that's what I think. That's what I think of what you're going to do. So, yes, this is my final show, and it's put me in a reflective mood about, like, you know, how we've done this. I know, Zeb, you're like a recent addition. You're kind of like, essentially, this is like a football team, and... And I'm like, you know, the old striker who's got into the over the hill age of like 30. And you're the young replacement that they've brought in. And I'm like, just like clinging on, going, no, I can still give something to the team. I've been in this club my whole life. Don't kick me out of the door. Zeb is going to be the new replacement. He's going to be the new record breaker. It's going to be like, you know, when Thierry Henry broke Ian Wright's football record. And for anybody who doesn't understand football, sorry, it's my final show. I'll do what I want. Like, it's going to be like when Thierry Henry broke Ian Wright's record. Sean knows what I'm talking about. Sean's nodding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. But it makes me think, okay, Sean, Sharon, I was thinking about this. Do you know that we have been on air for about 200 hours of radio together?
Crikey.
I know.
Moses.
I know. About 200 hours of radio. We have assaulted people's eardrums with our views for 200 hours of radio. I don't know how we got away with it.
I know, it's sort of three or four years, isn't it, that we've been teaming up?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. And I remember when we sort of like, because we were at another radio station, we were up at the hospital, and then before we moved to Vectis Radio, and we just decided we're going to start doing this, and we gave ourselves an excuse, as if we needed one, to go watch movies every single week.
It makes it sound less bad, though, doesn't it? You know, you said, oh, doing it for a radio show, you know.
Well, yeah.
Rather than just popping off down the cinema.
Exactly, yeah, because it makes it sound as if we're getting paid for this. So I have to go to the cinema, I have to be on radio, you know, I really, really have to actually...
Yeah, you know, it's really important.
It's really important. I need to go see 50 Shades Darker, because, you know, I need to... I don't enjoy it or anything, I just need to review it for the cinema, for the radio, that's why, that's all.
I need to register my disapproval just one more time.
Yes.
I think the great thing about the show has been that we've had contrasting views. You know, it's quite good. Sometimes we've all agreed, mm-hmm. and there's been other times where we've had different views, which I think makes it a really good show. We've got a real nice mix of ideas and things we like.
Yeah.
And now we've got someone much younger that we
that I think has disagreed with most of your
you
film
probably
choices.
Yeah.
It's okay, we disagree with yours.
Yeah, well, there we have it.
We disagree with yours. We're like, what is all this teen nonsense? Oh, it's nowhere near as good as The Breakfast Club. Now that was a teen movie.
No.
Now that was
don't
a
get
teen
me started.
Movie.
You didn't like The Breakfast Club, did you?
Oh,
Zeb?
No.
Zeb, you didn't like The Breakfast Club?
Sharon, I am sorry, but there is nothing good about it.
Oh, my.
You know, I think
word.
There's still time for me to say I'm staying.
No, it's too late.
That's my teen... That's my youth. You're just discarding.
I just... Because I watched it thinking, oh, you know, this is a classic. This is going to be great. Sat down, and I got half hour in and I was thinking, well, is something going to happen? Nothing's going to happen. And nothing did happen.
That's the beauty of it.
No, it's an emotional roller coaster.
And then the ending's just really, really dodgy. No, and I'm not going to spoil for listeners, but it is dodgy.
Okay. if you are going to complain about John Hughes' 1980s movie, complain about Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is vastly overrated.
I do agree. That's one thing I agree with on Toes in. I do think that's an overrated movie. But then I think a lot of movies are overrated. And I was having this discussion before, and I'm certain that it depends of what era when you were most influenced by the cinema.
Oh, yeah, true.
And, you know, because, I mean, Ghostbusters was okay, Raiders was okay, but I don't think they were, like, for me, they weren't, you know, they were nothing big. Mm. They were, and yet everybody's looking at me.
Why is my childhood getting battered today?
Well, in defense of The Breakfast Club, I did not even watch that in the 80s.
Okay.
I did not. I don't think I watched The Breakfast Club until the 2000s. Wow. And I still think it's a great film. I think it's a great chamber piece. Quiet, young gun.
Solid minus three from me for The Breakfast Club.
Oh, for God.
No, I don't think it's quite that
Lord,
bad.
Good Lord, man, forget it. We're gonna give Simple Minds your address. we're gonna have them hunt you down. It's like, so
don't
minus.
You forget about me.
Exactly.
No,
thank you.
Tell you
thank
what, that song's the best bit of it.
That is okay. Anyway, moving on. Okay, so we are actually here to talk about films that we have seen recently and all that. But you were talking about the show, but we will do that after the first ad break. We're just going to take some time to reminisce for those people who've been listening to us, for those people who have followed our progression from "What does this button do?" to yes, and hello and welcome and good evening to Vectis Radio show. And I think it's. And one of the things I also quite like is the fact how we almost have a specialist areas. And I think it's almost kind of like a news station where you have your romance correspondent. You have your animation correspondent, where that would be me. You have your Western horror, go watch anything because he's wanting to be scared correspondent. That's Sean. And now we have a youth correspondent. And who has just sort of like, you know, reinforced our ideas that they know nothing.
the
youth of today.
Yes, I know. Oh, in my day when I were
I'm going to be swapping around on this desk in a minute, Tozen.
I'm locked in. I'm changing the thing for the next hour a bit. Although it is funny that we're talking about youth, and we're talking about the difference of youth, because Vectis Radio recently went to the UK Community Radio Awards and won a bronze award. The bronze award winner for the four-piece project, which is all about helping young people get their confidence on radio. So it's something that we're actually quite proud of here at Vectis Radio, the fact that we got this award. If you go into Facebook page, you will see Ian Mack standing there looking all kind of like, oh wow. Actually, to be honest with you, he looks a bit sad that it wasn't the gold. it looks quite sad that it wasn't the gold, but either way, we've got that. And it's funny that we're talking about young people. This is a place where we decide to give young people a chance, even though we do not agree with their views about The Breakfast Club and especially Avengers Infinity War.
I personally think in any walk of life, it's great to have youth come in, you know, for young people to come in, because that's the only way things change, be it music.
Yep.
Because I think, I mean, I know a lot of people, it's like music, like, and you get all these old bands that still play, like the Rolling Stones and everything, and nothing against the Rolling Stones, yeah. I love them, but what I'm saying is they should make way really for new, and things should always progress, and when you get young people come in, you get wonderful new ideas and new slant on things, and then you think, well, yeah, maybe. You know, even though I'm a grumpy old
yeah, there's a lot of interesting discussions at the minute. I mean, in my A-level course, we've been discussing experimental film and the future of it and the things we think our generation are going to bring to experimental films. And that was a really interesting thing to kind of discuss, and maybe the future of virtual reality within cinema, and even just kind of the themes that we think are kind of going to be tested out and introduced more as kind of things become, I don't know, I don't want to say more liberal, but just kind of slightly more open-minded about things. And
just no horrible CGI like they had in Predator.
Oh, no, I'll tell you what your generation is going to bring. Your generation is going to bring vertical films. Where instead of having the landscape view, you're going to have all these films shot in portrait, because they're all going to be filming them on phones, and they're going to think, why do we need to turn it sideways? That doesn't make any sense. That's what you guys are going to bring in. And I'm open-minded enough to think you might do something good with it, but
it could be good.
It could be good, but in my heart of hearts, I'm like, no, that doesn't look as good.
It will change.
I think it would actually work for a horror movie. I think you could film a horror movie in that thing because it's unsettling and because there's so much you cannot see. And in horror movies, the ones that work well is a lot about what you cannot see. And so you know that if there's something chasing somebody, it's like, what is it? You don't know because you can't see it because the screen's too small and too vertical to see anything. So I think there is actually a good horror movie to
it
be made.
It could actually improve horror in general. I'm not a fan of horror. And I tell you what, I watched The Purge the other day. It's the closest I've come to enjoying a horror film.
Well done, you.
Thank you. I felt very proud. I thought, I nearly like it.
Was that the original?
It was the first one. But
the one where they're in the house?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. do you reckon, will you work in celluloid at all still, or will that be a thing of the past? Is it all digital?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to experiment and cross over with things.
I think it'd be nice to try.
I think celluloid is only going to get more expensive.
Yeah.
It's going to get rarer and more expensive, and it's going to be like there's going to be a time when they're going to say something, this is the most expensive film in the world, and it's going to be a 20-minute short.
Yeah,
but because it was shot on celluloid, it was the most expensive film in the world.
I mean, I guess digital movies are easier to edit and everything else, aren't they?
It's really? Just yes. It's just so much easier. The barriers to entries are so much lower. Mm. All right, okay, but what's going to happen film-wise, talking about, we promised we're going to review some films. So last week we spoke about A Simple Favor. Sharon, you weren't here last week, but you went to see it. And we're going to, just before we go to the ad break, we're going to get your views on it. After the ad break, we're going to talk about The House with a Clock in Its Walls. A title that is kind of difficult to say, as Sean proved when he tried to order his ticket at the cinema. I was with him. I witnessed this. I should have filmed it. But and then after the second break, we're going to talk about our favorite films and our worst films of the year, or... I can extend it a bit more and say of our time together since we've been doing this show. But first of all, Sharon, so we spoke about, I spoke about Simple Favor last week, and after I spoke about it, these two refused to go see it. So what did you think?
Yes, I was hoping, I haven't heard the show from last week yet, so I apologise for that. So I may be repeating what you've already said.
Nope, go ahead, go for it. Because
in summary,
as Sean was saying, the fact that we don't always agree, it's good to compare and contrast.
I would say it was a bit of a confused mess. In that there were some good elements to it.
Yes.
But it hadn't quite decided whether it was going to be a thriller, a comedy, or a drama.
Oh, yeah?
And so I think it got its wires crossed. The basic story is single mum, sort of early 30s, played by Anna Kendrick, is like the do-everything mum at school. She's on every committee. She's like the super mum, and she has her own vlog online. And she meets this sort of, you know, hyper-glamorous other mother, Emily, who has their two children, sons are at the same class, and they sort of form this friendship, even though it feels rather one-sided. And then the simple favour is, Emily asks, I can't remember what Anna Kendrick's character, Stephanie,
yes,
to look after her son while she goes, you know, has a meeting, and then she doesn't come back. And then the story progresses from there. You think, has she gone missing? Has some, you know, something untoward happened to her? Is it a setup? Is it a genuine thing? And so you are drawn into this. But then you suddenly get moments of comedy, and you just think, you know, what are you trying to do with this story? And in the end, I just think they just threw... they just made... It felt like it was, like, improvised almost. It was just so random, the ending. And it just seemed to be the ending to a completely different film. So there were some good elements in it. I thought that some of the characters were sympathetic, and other times you're thinking, you've just suddenly changed completely.
Yeah.
And some of the they make references to some... should we say almost like inappropriate relationships, and they deal with it in quite a light way, and you're thinking, no, that's not actually a funny thing or something to be joked about. That's actually quite distasteful. And you're treating it to be like, no, this thing happened, whatever. And it was just, that's quite uncomfortable. So I would say it didn't know what it was, and as a viewer, you don't know quite what you're supposed to make of it. There were some good elements. It was well produced, it was well made, you couldn't suddenly say, oh, you know, the makeup or this sort of thing is completely nuts.
Yeah.
But it just felt like a confused mess.
You might not listen. You might not need to listen to last week. You might not need to listen because, yeah, I concur. I concur on that. The thing is, I don't see the bits where I was trying to be a comedy. I think I was too busy going, what the heck is going on? Yeah.
Sharon, how many stars would you have given it?
Two.
Yeah, it's like in my heart I said two, but I thought it's a kind of film that while you're watching it, it's engaging enough. By the end, you're kind of like, what the heck? Was that?
Yeah, so the ending suddenly lost a point for me. I would have gone three all the way until the last sort of 20 minutes, and but then to me it was like, this, what have you just done to this film?
It's like a Sunday afternoon movie. So it's like the sort of like, if it's on a Sunday afternoon, watch it, give it a watch, because as you said, I do think that the characters are engaging while you're looking at there. But I mean, there's just, I'm not going to go with
it. Just
if
goes
you
want
to know what I think, listen to last week's show,
yeah,
which, as I said, is available from your preferred podcast downloading source. But it's yeah, I agree with you totally. I was just like, yeah. I think my one line review was bargain basement gone girl.
Yes, you can see there's elements of it, but they obviously didn't know quite what they were doing.
Yeah.
I just get the feeling that it was just, they were just trying to spin too many plates and all of them crashed to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. I think the ending is the one that really...
Yeah, it's just completely nuts.
You're like, where did that come... No, anyway, never mind. Never mind. So we are going to carry on to advert break now. And on the other side of the ad break... Oh, sorry. On the other side of the ad break, we will be talking about... What again?
The house with a clock in its walls.
Yes, yes.
That easy one to say.
You know, that just shows two things. A, that shows why you're taking over. And B, proves my point about the name of that song. Name of that film. All right, cool. We'll see you guys after these.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. The heart of the island's community.
Willie's Guitar Shop is a stylish guitar boutique in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. We are a small, friendly, family-owned business and sell quality vintage and pre-owned guitars. Also, accessories, strings, leads and books. In addition, we provide guitar repairs, setups, restrings and guitar lessons. We pride ourselves on our expertise and first-class customer service. You are more than welcome to pop in for a chat. We are situated number 12 Shooters Hill in Cowes. For more details, visit our Facebook page, Willie's Guitar Shop, or telephone 01983 242680.
Most excellent!
ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. We service, repair, refurbish and sell catering equipment. We can also purchase equipment if required, whether it's part exchange or brand new. We also deliver. To find out how we can help with your catering equipment needs, call us on 01983 756 628 or check out our website www.icec1.co.uk.
Isle of Wight Studio Glass at Arrowton Barnes Craft Village is one of the leading British glassmaking studios and has a reputation worldwide. The studio is open 7 days a week and you can come and watch master glassmaker Timothy Harris create his amazing designs. A visit to Isle of Wight Studio Glass also offers an opportunity to purchase a piece of glass that you will treasure for always. You can also buy online at isleofwightstudioglass.co.uk or call us on 522-339.
This is Vectis Radio, the Isle of Wight's local community station. Vectis Radio was set up on the 23rd of January 2010. We are a community radio station which promotes local businesses, events, charities and more. The station pays for itself by offering affordable but competitive advertising rates to local companies. For more information, call our sales team on 01983 527 733.
We are your Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Hello and welcome back to Vectis Movies, where, as we said, we go to the cinema and wade through dross so you don't have to. We've already spoken about some of the dross with A Simple Favor. And now here's the chance to find out whether we are going to be wading through some more dross like so much horrible pumpkin soup with the house with a clock in its walls. Now, I'm not sure exactly what it is shown when we went to see this at the cinema. I think you called it something like a wall house clock.
Yeah, yeah.
the
wall clock film or something like that, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's like, could I have the wall clock film, please? Yeah. And bless them, the guys at the cinema just went, oh, yes, very well.
I'm sure they must have encountered that a few times, perhaps.
Yeah. All right. Okay, cool. So this, Sean, Zeb, and I have seen this. So Zeb, would you give us a bit of a prezi about what this film's about?
Okay, so it's a young boy, and both of his parents have passed away. So he goes to live with his uncle, which is played by Jack Black, mm-hmm. And his friend. And their house is very peculiar. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he notices is all the clocks in the house. The kind of the plot starts to unfold about kind of the magic goings on with his uncle. And then he kind of gets introduced to this world of magic, and kind of that leads him astray slightly, and then it's kind of trying to work out what it should be used for and kind of the people he should encounter.
Then Robbie Coltrane shows up with a massive beard and says, "You're a
yes.
wizard.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Oh, and the friend is played by Kate Blanchett.
Yes. That's Jack Black. That's his uncle's friend.
Yes.
Not his.
No, friend. No, that would be slightly odd, wouldn't it?
What? She could pull it off.
She's brilliant. She's brilliant.
Kate Blanchett could play a kid, and I would buy it.
To me, Kate Blanchett is one of the top actresses, I think.
She just fits everything she does.
She does.
Yeah. I think I would say just not to get political or anything like that, Sean, but it's like, I say it would be actor, actress. I think she's one of the top, full stop.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm just like, she's one of those people who's like, is Kate Blanchett in it? Well, I'll give that a watch.
I'll give that a watch, definitely.
I'll go. All right, cool. So that is the basic idea of what this film's about. And now, Sean, what did you think of it?
Okay, loved Kate Blanchett. Absolutely loved Kate Blanchett. But I'd like to hear actually what Zeb thought about it first, if that's okay. If I can get Zeb's ideas first. Zeb just asked me, and I said, "Oh, let's wait and see." So
essentially, you're saying let's see this through the through the hopeful eyes of youth.
Are you guys going to be mean to me again? You know,
Have you listened to this show? That is the you knew the score before you took the job.
That's true. Carry on, folks.
I'm quite happy to give my views first.
Let's hear from the hopeful eyes of youth.
Yeah. Okay, this film, I wasn't completely sure what I was going to be walking in on.
Yeah.
And it's a weird one because I wasn't expecting it to be as creepy as it was.
Okay.
And that did surprise me. And it's one of those things. So it's a 12A, this film. So, you know, there's no particular language or explicit violence within this film.
Yeah.
But the things featured could really play on your mind and could really creep you out, kind of depending on what scares you. But, you know, if these sort of moving things and dolls and things scare you, it's one of those you're going to be hiding behind your popcorn.
Or you're thinking about a particular screen where even Jack Black goes, "So creepy."
Oh, yes. But it is such a good film for the story is definitely there. The acting, Kate Blanchett, Jack Black, absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And the comedy elements are still there. And I think it's one of those that really fits the all ages that go to see it. You know, it's got those childhood things. This story is told through this child's eyes. So you can really get a feel for the environment he's in, and you can associate yourself to the things he's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, you also get the side of the uncle and his friend.
Yeah.
And that leads you on to all these kind of adult sort of jokes that I think would pass over a lot of heads.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I think this was a good film. I think it still could have gone a little bit better, but I don't know what it would have been that would have made it better.
Okay. All right, cool. So that's from the hopeful eyes of youth. Let's hear it through the jaded eyes of experience.
Okay, this film for me, Kate Blanchett was the best thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
I didn't even think Jack Black was at the top of his game in this movie. Although he was quite fun, and you know, was he was quite enjoyable, like he generally is. And there was a lot of banter. I think you're talking about the banter between the two was really good. The two adults, Witch and Warlock, and you know, they were, some of the insults were quite amusing. I did think, however, and I know it must be really difficult for child actors, but they just really, really didn't do it for me. I wasn't convinced, not by any of them really, except maybe the little girl at the end. But because there's one scene where it's quite emotional, and I was like, I just couldn't. It just wasn't believable to me.
Yeah,
you
know? See, that
was like, it was like, no, that's not convincing. You are.
There
not,
were sudden changes at times as well, weren't they? When one second everything would be one mood, and then suddenly it would switch, and then he'd immediately go back to being happy again. And it's kind of such a quick transition. Whereas I think if you want to feel this character, then you kind of got to work on it a little bit more. And it was just fleeting.
I think. I mean, it's like I think it's like the early Harry Potter movies. You know, I mean the. you know, they're not the world's best, but then if you look at them, they are very young. But you do see some young child actors that are really, really good. But
like the young girl, McKenna Grayson, Gifted,
yeah.
Oh my god,
yeah, really, really good. So they can do it.
The young kid, Jacob Tremblay, in Room.
Oh my word,
yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, definitely. But in this, that just didn't really. You know, I wasn't convinced by them. I could tell they was acting. That you know, it was like
the entire cast of It, the kids who act in Stranger Things, brilliant.
Yeah. But this was like a, you know, okay, go through the motions. You know, let's like, this is, and you could tell they were acting.
I have to agree with Shota that there are some scenes where there's no adult on screen, and it's just like these two, and they're like exposition heavy scenes and the dialogue heavy scenes between two of the kids, and it's just kind of like, it for me, it's a little bit like ants crawling up your skin. You're like, no, get them on screen. Why are you being so mean to them? They're only little. They don't know what they're doing. It's like, get them on screen. And then it's like, Jack Black and Kate Blanchett are back.
I mean, I could see it would appeal to young, you know, to young, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm talking about little ones. There is enough in it to amuse them. But yeah, for me, it was very much all over the place. I didn't think particularly for me. I'm an old geezer.
Even in our screening, the one that we went to see, there were older people.
Older people, yeah, actually, to be fair.
Yes, there was when I went in.
And there was laughter, and the people were laughing and everything. And I was kind of like, and I have to admit, there were bits where I was like, am I missing something? Because I had no problem with it being creepy. I had no problem with it. I think what we've spoken about before, like it has this Roald Dahl element to it.
Yes.
So like, you know, even the fact that it starts off and the first thing you hear is that this kid's parents are dead. Like they died in a car crash. And so even that's very sort of dark and Roald Dahl. It's very sort of Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate events. And I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. The production design is quite good. I feel like there's bits where you can feel you know where the film's going, because you know the way these stories go, and there's bits where you can feel the film twisting itself around to make something work. Like there's a whole thing where he goes to stay with his uncle, and then he has to go to a school, and in the school is about how he's fitting in. And I personally feel that you could have gotten rid of the entire school subplot, and the film would be better for it.
Yes. Yeah, actually, that's a really good point.
Because the school thing, everything that nothing happens there. All you just get is more kids trying to act, and more kind of. I mean, we were talking earlier, but more kind of sort of like, you know, high school 80s kind of shenanigans that don't really serve the plot and don't really go with where the thing's supposed to be going. There's only one character that affects the storyline in any way whatsoever that's actually in the school, and quite frankly you could have brought him in another way, because I feel like the film has a bit of a drive, and it has a bit of a, okay, this is what we're trying to do, this is where the plot is, this is where we're going, this is what the driving force of it is. And each time you cut to the school, it just kills that, and then it means that each time you come back you have to sort of rev that bit up again and get it going, and then it's like, then you go back to the school and you're like, why are we back here?
Yeah, why do you need it?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that actually, but now I can kind of see that actually it was quite unnecessary. And
it's totally unnecessary.
It was good to have it in there, to have this contrast between almost the reality and fantasy kind of idea, but to, you know, to keep that balance. But I don't think it was particularly necessary.
It was. It's not necessary.
They, like you said, they could easily have introduced that other character at the school in a different way, and it still would have worked perfectly.
Yeah,
and
next
I think
door neighbor.
Just it became quite cliched, and I think it kind of almost opened up to lazy script writing.
Oh yeah,
actually
massively.
in the school, and you know it was so cliched. You could have predicted what was going to happen right from the start. And
yeah.
You knew. There was no surprises, really. There was no surprises in this at all, was there?
No.
But I can see what they're trying to do, because I heard an interview with the guy, or the funniest thing about it is the guy who directed this film, Eli Roth, is the same guy who directed Hostel. He's known, he directed Cabin Fever. He's the one who directed the Death Wish movie from earlier this year. So he's known for directing sort of like adult gore fest with blood and everything like that all over the place. But in his interview, he was talking about the fact that it's kind of, because it's made by Amblin, which is Steven Spielberg's company, yeah, that made E.T. And so they are the ones who did all these, so like, you know, the Goonies and stuff like in the 80s. And they said that kind of movie that's made for younger people that is actually scary, that is actually kind of like, whoa, sheesh, oh my, I don't know, isn't really being made anymore. So they wanted to make that film again. And there's bits of it that I like.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Black is doing his Jack Black thing, which he hasn't done for a while. And there's bits of it.
Nice to see again.
Yeah, there's bits of it where I'm like, it's good to see that again. It is good to see Jack Black doing his Jack Black thing again. I don't know who thought about it, but the combination of Jack Black and Kate Blanchett is a weird one.
That's, it's weird, but I love
it's,
it.
It's a weird one that somehow works. I think some of the exchanges, I think, are a little bit labored, but there's one particular one when they're playing cards at the table that just sort of like goes... Tsh, tsh, tsh. It just sort of, it's like, you know, a sparring contest that goes back and forth, and it makes you think of the... I think it was Howard Hawks' screwball comedies, where you had Cary Grant and somebody else, and they're just sort of chucking things back and forth.
Hepburn.
Yeah. Cary Grant and Hepburn? No, wasn't it Rosalind Russell in Hill's Girl Friday? Yeah, Rosalind Russell, his Girl Friday. And what, Cary Grant Hepburn? Oh, that was Charade, wasn't it? But yeah, but just that back and forth, it made me, there was bits of it where you could see it clicking in like that at all. And there's, but then there's bits where it's, I just don't know whether this would have been better as a TV series, or whether they tried to put too much in, because when they try and go into, like, you know, Kate Blanchett's backstory, and it just feels like, what is it?
I quite enjoyed that. I enjoyed having that extra bit in there, because like you say, the school part was kind of almost pointless, and I think you needed something else to kind of break up the main action, and it gives her a reason and motives and... I don't know. Quite enjoyed that.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll say, get rid of the school part. Make that character that you meet at the school, a next door neighbor.
Yes.
And take that time that's meant on the school part and give it to Cage Blanchett and give her more of a back. Yep. Fix your film.
I would vote for that one.
Fix your film. Fix your. You know where to find me. I will not be in the studio because this is my final show.
I will though.
yes. You can take all my ideas through. Through the younger model that they've brought in to replace me.
I'll give you the occasional shout out.
All right, cool. So, if we're going to talk about stars, how many stars would we give The House with the Clock on Its Walls? I'm just showing off with that title now.
Well done. You remembered that one.
I'm just showing.
I went to see this with my friend, and she gave it a 3.5. I think I would possibly, after our discussion, drop it down to a 3.
I was hoping that we wouldn't make you drop down your... I was hoping that wasn't going to happen. Don't look at it through our jaded eyes.
It's too late.
for me, I thought it was all over the place. I didn't think the acting by the youngsters was particularly good.
Yeah, that was
so. Bad. So, I mean, I'd have to it'd be pushing it to give it 2 stars.
Oh,
I would give it a 3 because I thought that the main guy was all right. I thought that the character that you meet at the school was a bit much. I thought that the girl was pointless. I mean, why did they even put her in there?
It was just a bit of a time waster, really, wasn't it?
It almost makes me feel as if there's a longer version of this film and there's like a whole bunch of like got cut out, because I'm like, what? That makes no that does nothing.
He didn't need to be there.
So, but I mean, I agree with you about the child actors. I mean, sometimes it was painful. Sometimes it was painful. But I'm willing to sort of like push that out of the way and go, okay, let's just look at the story. And I would give it a 3. I would give it a 3. And I think for people who have kids or like, you know, teenagers who want to go see themselves, or people who have younger kids, I want to take them along. Something that, like, you know, they will probably get freaked out about it because some bits are a bit creepy. But it's something
it's a fairly easy watch, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So, Sharon, now that we've given our verdict, tell us exactly how much you are not going to be watching this.
It's still tempting to see it, even though it sounds like it's a flawed but well-meaning film. I think I might give it a go. Maybe not, because there's other films coming our way that I'm keen to see.
Oh, okay.
But I definitely would think, I would consider seeing it, certainly.
Okay, cool. We will talk about what other films, or let me say, what other film it is that you are lining up when we come back after the break, and we talk about the things that we have enjoyed most this year, the things we've enjoyed the least this year, and the things we are most looking forward to in the rest of the year. See you guys after the break.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, Isle of Wight's community station.
Red Squirrel Property Shop are an independent, family-run local business that's honest, trustworthy and reliable. Isn't that exactly what you need when renting out your home? Honesty. At Red Squirrel Property Shop, we help rent out and manage properties all over the island. We can offer you various services from guaranteed rent on time, fully managed and tenant introduction. We are there to help take away the stress from renting out your home. Call us today to have the life of a stress-free landlord on 01983 521 212.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour ride to countryside and woodland. So, play a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
It's back! The fun quiz night will be on Friday the 19th of October at 7 p.m. at the Isle of Wight College restaurant. Back as quizmaster, despite the heckling he's received in the past. £10 per person, which includes a meal, licensed bar, free parking, no cooking or washing up, just fun. There'll be the raffle, of course. All proceeds from the evening go to keep Vectis Radio running. Get your tickets from kelvin.curry@vectisradio.fm.
Hi, it's me, Brian Curtis, from the Thursday Electric Eclectic.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hi, Mark. Just doing a promo for the show with all the usual features.
Oh, yeah. Motown Magic Moment.
Ooh, two in a row. It takes two, baby.
That's right, Claire. Two in a row and the You Talking to Me interview with all kinds of people doing some very interesting things on the Thursday Electric Eclectic.
Are you inside my head?
No, I'm on Vectis Radio, 104.6 FM, on Thursdays from 7 to 10 p.m.
Music variety.
Music variety.
That blows your mind. Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Hello and welcome back to Vectis Radio. Sorry, no music variety, just us with our sonorous tones talking about movies. For the next 20 minutes until we have Brian Curtis with the Eclectic Mix. I was going to say the Electric Eclectic. I think that's something. That's
Robin Hill, I think, isn't it? Is that?
No, that, yeah, I know. That popped into my head and I was like, that is not what his show is called. It's not called the Electric Eclectic, but that's a good name. We should use it for something. I don't know what. But anyway, now we are going to talk about, I think we're getting towards the end of the year. It's crazy, but we only have three more months. Mm. I'm actually kind of impressed that I haven't seen much about Christmas yet, because usually by now it should be all over the place. I say that, and tomorrow it's just going to be all over the place. John Lewis, I'm going to release an ad now night as we speak. But soon they're going to become, people are going to start thinking about the end of the year. There's going to be all these award things coming up, and people are going to try and jam as many films into December as possible that all of a sudden have like really worthy topics and all that. But it's a good time to look back over the year and look back over even our time on the show and all that kind of stuff, and or my time on the show anyway, and talk about what is it that we've liked and what is it that we thought that what surprised us and what we thought, oh my god, no. So Sharon, go.
What can I say but Mamma Mia. Here we go again. I think that's probably my highlight of the last 9 months, I think.
Oh yeah,
because I do love a musical, and I did like the beginning of the year, just crept into the beginning of the year, The Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
But for me, the the sort of standout film, the one I saw a couple of times at the cinema, and I would happily see it again. Mm-hmm. Is Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a feel-good film. It's joyful. It's sort of life-affirming. It's got ABBA songs.
That would sell it enough.
It's just an easy watch.
Yeah.
Even I think sometimes you look at Cher and you think, your face doesn't move much, does it? But even she looked a little bit sort of stiff around the hips. I thought, you're showing your age, love, but she can still belt out a tune.
Yeah. Good on her.
Did they have a sing-along movie? Did you go to that? Because I'm pretty sure they had a sing-along.
Oh, with the words on the screen.
Words on the screen.
Oh. They might well have done, but I didn't actually.
Yeah, they
go
did
to,
load
I,
down
I
aptly,
would have done. I probably would have done. Well, you came with me. We went to a Greece one.
Yeah, we did. Quite fun. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. So that's
that was the good.
Yeah.
The bad.
Let's go good round the court.
Go the good round the table.
Good round the table, and then we'll see what happens.
Okay. For me, I tend to think films that stay with me, films I remember, films that I'd love to see again.
Yeah.
Are the films that I would like, because I've seen a lot of films this year and I can't remember half of them.
But yeah.
The ones I really can remember would be Leave No Trace. I just think that's for me, that was my highlight of the year, and I think even Sharon quite liked that, didn't you?
Yeah, I definitely did. It was a 4-star film for me.
Yeah.
And it's a thoughtful film, and yeah, it's an emotionally sort of involving film, but yeah, I would certainly give that a 4-star. Yeah. It was a highlight, but I wanted to go with Feel Good, but yeah, that would certainly be one of my quality films.
Quality film. Just jump on that, Sharon, please, even though they can't see it. Right, yeah. So that's my highlight. And followed by the recent film that we've just spoken about, was American Animals.
American Animals.
Really, really enjoyed that.
It's a very good film.
It's a shame it was only on for the week, because I would have loved to have seen that. Well, I did see it twice, but I'd love to see it one more time.
Twice is never enough.
That's a very good film.
Yeah.
Zeb?
For me, there were a few contenders in this one. I mean, I was surprised about how much I enjoyed Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, yeah?
That one, I was very surprised about how I enjoyed that. But I think overall for me, it has to be... No, not The Meg. Although it was good, not The Meg. I think it's got to be Love, Simon. And again, that was more the start of the year. But it's one of those that I still think, oh, if that was still on, I would be back in the cinema watching it. And it's just really stayed with me, the kind of the themes of it and the messages and just how lovely the story was, I think. Very nice.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, cool, good stuff.
What about you, Tyson?
Oh, well, the thing is that I'm just actually looking back through our catalogue and seeing the films we've spoken about this year. And you're right, Sean, you forget about a lot. You forget about a lot. And I'm going to be a total sort of like, you know, caricature and just go straight into the Marvel stuff. I'm going to say Black Panther.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Black Panther. I'm going to say Avengers Infinity War. Quiet, you young person, leave the room.
I agree. They were great, entertaining films.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed The Meg. We're talking about The Meg. The Meg was a fun movie, and so was Rampage. I've just remembered Rampage was another fun movie.
Yeah, I just remember like sitting down with both those films and going, "Oh my word, how are they pulling this off?" I mean, like the Black Panther, the idea of all the sort of like issues that they were pulling in and all that kind of stuff, and obviously there's something in the water because we had Black Klansman as well later in the year and all that. So that's films that I love. I mean, I really did like those. And also, I have to say a word out for Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which was absolutely hilarious. But I don't think many people saw it. I don't think it was in the cinemas for that long. I have to put a word out there. But there have been some good films this year. But okay, let's go on to bad. We'll do bad and surprises at the same time.
Bad, I would go with The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Okay.
Thought it was an excruciating mess. And that relied upon swearing to replace humour. Cool. And so I just was like, yeah, wouldn't get me to watch that again.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are many others that were just complete turkeys. But I think a surprise that I did enjoy was Puzzle, that we only saw a couple of weeks ago.
I
really enjoyed that. Yeah, again, one of those like indie films that sort of like fly under the radar, then they're there. You don't really get a lot of sort of build up to them, but
no,
they were
totally worth
good.
It.
And I also think Solo. It was like had a funny, a mixed bag, didn't it? It was had a sort of troubled production, but I think it actually did deliver as a Star Wars film. So I would say that was my surprise of the year, that it was a film that, again, it sort of flew under the radar because they didn't really know what to do with it. Again, you've got the feeling.
Yeah.
And then when it did arrive, we were like going, "Whoa, it's a Star Wars film." And then I think it was actually, I actually enjoyed it.
I think that was a surprise
of the year that I wasn't necessarily expecting. But yeah, they're my hideous ordeals and a pleasant surprise.
All right, Sean.
Well, the films I can remember disliking the most was probably all the so-called horror movies that I've seen the year, but the crowning glory would probably be that fabulous Catherine Cookson movie, The Nun. So I think The Nun goes down. And I didn't like The Purge. Really, really not like the latest Purge. Final year.
Oh, that was just hideous.
So you didn't like that either then, champ.
The first purge was the first purge, yeah, so I hated them.
Okay.
As a worst, I can't decide between Ready Player One and Avengers Infinity War.
Oh my goodness.
And I think I'm going to be attacked in this studio in a minute, but it's such a hard choice.
Do you like anything good?
Well, if your definition of good is The Breakfast Club, then no.
Zeb, we're going to have words. I'm going to sit you down and be like, great aunt.
Someone send help.
I should be young, Zeb.
I was going to watch Love, Simon. Now I'm not so sure.
No, what? I wasn't annoyed with Infinity War. Like, it was an okay film. I just think it was let down after all the hype about it. I think there were so many possibilities for it, and it just didn't win me over. And I think part of the problem probably was Thor Ragnarok, stunning film, absolutely loved it, and Black Panther, loved it. And so you have this real nice build-up, and Infinity War,
What was it about Infinity War then?
I think more than anything, it was the plot to it, because there were so many parts I thought, well, of course this is going to happen, but this is going to be resolved in this next film by this, and he now knows this, so he would have changed things otherwise. And it's just so many plot points to it, and I think that's just silly, pointless now.
All right, you see, now this leads me to one of the things that I think is like when Sean was talking about when we don't always agree, and one of the funniest things I remember that since we've been doing this show was when we spoke about War for the Planet of the Apes.
Was that this year?
I actually don't know. I
thought that was the end of last year.
It might be end of last year, but essentially, Sean, when we're talking about the show, says, well, this is happening, that's this, and this is that, and he lists all these things, and I go, yep, I agree, I totally agree, and then he's like, I hated it, and I'm like, but I liked it.
I know, you'd be really forgiving. What was it? And I think I was really forgiving with the latest Jurassic World.
I didn't even want to see that.
And I think that Jurassic Kingdom, yeah. See, I was a bit forgiven of that, but I could have gone to town on that. But when I saw, I think we had this discussion, when I saw him, we're talking about the youngster, how much this young lad enjoyed it, he was with his parents, and he was just going, yeah, and you could just see, and it was just like, well, perhaps I can forgive a few of the holes in it. I was disappointed with the Equalizer as well, the new Equalizer, the sequel.
I was
totally disappointed with that after the first one.
Yeah, but I also think that sometimes that like you have to watch a film with the right kind of head on to watch certain films. Like, I think if you're going to watch a film, like for instance Infinity War, I think it is probably the best comic book movie we've ever had, because this when you read a comic book movie, you kind of know that there's a couple of things that are going to happen. You know that the good guys are going to win, kind of thing. It's very rare that you get a comic book movie where the good guys don't win. You know all that kind of stuff. You know all these different things that are put on. But if you put it in yourself critically and go, but hang on a second, yeah, that doesn't mean anything because it's all going to be reversed. Then it's kind of like, I think it sort of defeats the purpose a little bit.
I agree, but I think with those superhero films, especially the Marvel movies, they take care over it. Going back, they take care, and the finer points, which are really good, like you said, the scene in Avengers, the first Avengers one, with when it was in Nigeria,
That was in Captain America Civil War.
Captain America Civil War, yeah. So in Captain America Civil War, and it was like, oh, they've even got the right coloured buses. And it was obviously filmed somewhere else, but they got the right coloured buses.
Hurrah.
But what I'm saying is that's a big deal because someone could have said, let's just put some Vectis buses in there.
Yeah.
No one will know.
No, it's so important to get those details.
That's a big deal because for someone like me that's from Nigeria, whenever we're represented on screen, we're either like, you know, a butt of a joke, or we're just sort of like seen as this fantastically corrupt country, and there's just like, it's essentially nobody gives shows, we're used to not having any respect shown in films.
Yeah.
And it's something like the Marvel Universe, when they do that, and they make all these little nods, because then it's filmed somewhere else and everything like that, but they make these little nods to say, we're showing you some respect. We've done some research. It shows, unlike Transformers, you're stupid.
And I think that was with Black Panther as well. Because what made Black Panther such a great film was, I'm sure there was lots of different, especially the dress, you could see the influence. And I'm sure it's from many different places around Africa. And to me, it's just the fine details. That's what I really like in the film. Important.
Yeah. It really established it. Yeah, so doesn't it?
Because people can be lazy in films, and they can just, you know, things, or and it's just like, oh, let's make a story. And my issue with War for Planet of the Apes was, you know, how certain things happened. Well, you know, that's just like lazy script writing. That's just like, let's make this film. Let's just put it in there. Let's do this stupid stuff. So yeah,
As I said, I do agree with you on a lot of those things.
Yeah.
But it's and I think I had a point that I was going to say that was something. Oh yeah. It was Transformers. When you're talking about people being lazy and all that, the one that gets me, and this is the thing, it's one of my big bugbears. Like, if there's a film that has a trailer and they talk about Africa, and someone says something along the lines of, "Yeah, we're going to go on holiday to Africa," I am not watching that film because I'm like, where, which one of the countries?
Yeah,
which one of the countries are you going to go? You're just going to go on holiday to Africa? What kind of nonsense is that? And that stupid Transformers movie, the last one that was out, they have a bit where they have this bit where they show a desert, and they're like, whatever desert, Namibia, West Africa. And I'm like, what the heck? That's like saying Russia, Western Europe. It's Namibia is beside South Africa. How the heck? How do you spend so much money on this film? How do you have people who are obviously using computers to make all the stuff, and they can't go online on their phones and look at a map and figure out where the heck this country is? That is just disrespectful. As far as I could say, that is just straight up disrespectful. Yeah. And that is one of the things I love about, like, you know, the Marvel movies, that they actually show some respect.
They do, and there's lots of little subtle finer points that actually you think, that's well thought out, and that's exactly how it would go. That's exactly what they'd look like. I really know going back to that. I guess it was Civil War again. I get confused so many of them. Or it might be the Winter Soldier, where like there's a lot of clunking and all that, and yet when the Black Panther does any of his, there's no sound.
That's Civil War.
Civil War. You know, because he even lands on a car, you know, and most of them go thump, and they sort of land down with their knee down like that. Whereas, you know, and
it's just
like, there's a panther, and that, it makes no noise. And to me, that's just like, that's one of those finer details that someone's thought, do you know what? Let's make this.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We're running out of time, so I think I was trying to think about it, I don't think there's any film I've really got on my nose massively this year. But then we spoke about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and that was a massive disappointment for me.
Yeah, what about Murder on the Orient Express? Was that this year?
No, that was last year.
See, this is trouble.
That was last year.
You could have kept talking about that one though, couldn't you?
But when we talk about surprises, things, films that surprised me, Red Sparrow. Red Sparrow this year, I was totally not expecting that to be as good as it was. I was fully expecting to hate that film. And I was like, oh my, no, this is actually like a proper spice thriller. And a film that I think a lot of people would have forgotten came around at the beginning of the year. There weren't that many, I think it wasn't around for that long, wasn't on that many screens. Hostiles.
Oh, I totally forgotten about
that.
Yeah,
I know.
I watched that the other day.
I know. Hostiles. Hostiles was movie. Such a great film.
We saw it together. Yeah. Brilliant. Christian Bale, Rosamund Pike. Classic.
Great film.
The acting, because I was almost in... I mean, for an actor to bring me to tears, but there's a couple of scenes in that with Christian Bale, and you can actually feel his hurt. You can actually...
You can feel that this is a broken man.
Broken man
just holding himself together.
Yeah, no, brilliant. Well, yeah. Thanks for that.
Well reminded. Yeah, great film.
Yeah, well, I think Hostiles was good, but I think for most of the things that we said. Anyway, it's getting close to the end, and I just wanted to say thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for letting me host the final show. Thank you so much for hosting this show with me so much. Zeb, all the best as you go forward. Sean, Sharon, you're in good hands. And all that's left to say is thank you to everybody on the island, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you, Tyson. Good night.
It's been fun. It's been fun.
All the tears.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.